We are holding on Kuspuff Days, Amud Days, nine lines from the bottom. After we talked in the Mishnah about those various kinds of skins of animals, the various ones that are soft and therefore considered like the flesh, as far as the halachas of food of Tumas Eichlin, and as far as the halachas of Tumah Batara, of Nevela, and whatever. So then the Mishnah had said, B'cholam she'ibdam cholah, that all of these skins, if he tanned them, or if he trod on them, if he treaded on them, stomped on them, the amount of time that takes of tanning them, then they're tahored and they're not tame anymore as food or as nevela, as the case may be. Except we said in the Mishnah for human skin, and we learned yesterday why that is, because the Chacham didn't want that a person is going to keep human skins as mementos, which we're going to have something about that in the Gemara soon about what the Romans did. So the Gemara says, Hilach aim lo hilach loy. So the implication of the Mishnah is only that if he walked on them or tanned them, then they lose their status as meat. Lo hilach loy, but it sounds like if he didn't walk on them, then not. Even if he just spread them out on the floor so that people should walk on them. The question with that is, V'hatani Rabchia, didn't Rabchia teach a Braisa? Oizen chamor shetla'o l'kupasai, if a person takes an ear of a donkey, and uses it as a patch for his and uses it as a patch for his basket tahora, then it's tahor, it's not makabel truma anymore. Now it's a piece of a donkey. By definition, of course, it's dead. It's considered an aver. It's a limb, and it would be matame like an avela, as long as it's at least the size of a kazayas. But here, where now he's using it as a patch on a basket or a box, then it's not makabel truma anymore. Now you see, he didn't have to tan it. He didn't have to anything. He just took the ear as is and made it into something that serves the function of leather. Then it's a bottle. Well, the same thing. Rashi argues then, so if he put it on the ground so that people should tread on it, or let's say, for example, he takes a piece of skin and wraps it around his foot, even if he didn't actually start walking on it yet, why is the Mishnah implying that it's still considered flesh and that it would still, and it still wouldn't be bottle yet? So the answer is, the answer is, if he used it as a patch, that itself is considered a maisa, and even though he didn't walk on it, then nevertheless that's enough to be mevatel. Loit tla, but if he didn't actually do that kind of maisa of making it as a patch, then that's what the Mishnah is implying, that only if he walked on it enough that it's now considered that now it's the first stage of tanning, then it would be bottle, but if not, then not. So that's the difference. In other words, did he do a maaser with it or not? Tosfos understands somewhat differently than Rashi in this. Rashi is explaining that the question is that in the Mishnah, why does it have to mention that he walked on it? It should be enough that he put it on the ground and it's ready for people to tread on. So Tosfos says, no, what it means is, the question is, why didn't instead of mentioning treading on it, why didn't the Mishnah mention using it as a patch? And the answer is because they're basically the same thing. Both of them involve a maisa, and there's really no greater chiddush in one than the other. So the Mishnah picked one of the possible cases, namely that he put it down and people started treading on it. It is true that if you were to use it as a patch, then the same thing, it would be bottle, and now it wouldn't be considered. Now, well, when we're talking about the ear, by the way, the skin of the ear is not soft enough to be considered flesh in the first place. What we're talking about really is, after all, the ear contains flesh, enough of it that you would have a kazayas and it would be matame as nevela, and then the skin of it would be a shomer for that, as we've learned about before. But all of that is only if he didn't use it as a patch. If he used it as a patch, or if he put it on the ground and people started treading on it enough, Then the whole thing is no longer considered flesh. The whole thing is considered skin, is considered leather, and it's not metabolism. Okay. How much is considered when we said in the Mishnah that if you tread on it enough for kadei ibud, kadei avoida, as I would say in the Mishnah, then it's not mekabel truma anymore. By the way, you know, here we see that the word avoida or ibud is used for the tanning of leather, the working of skin to make it into leather. It's brought in a number of places in the Chassidus. By the same token, when you talk about avoida sashem, when you talk about avoida, it means the same kind of thing. It has to be a process that actually transforms a person, just as these various kinds of processings that we're talking about over here turn a skin into a useful article of the leather. Anyway, so how much is considered kadei ibud? So the answer is Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Yana, Abbas Milin. If it's treaded on to the amount of time that it would take to walk 4 mils. Now, there are different opinions among the Rishonim. How long does it take to walk a mil? Everybody agrees a mil is 2,000 amos, but how long does it take to walk it? Based on various Gemaras, different Rishonim come up with figures between 18 and 24 minutes for a mil. The three major well-known opinions are 18 minutes, 22 and a half minutes, and 24 minutes. This is Negea for a lot of areas in Halacha. So over here, then the full mil would be anywhere between 72 and 96 minutes, depending who you ask. So once it's threaded on for that amount of time, even though no further processing has been done with it, it's already not considered flesh anymore. Okay, speaking of that, then, let's talk about other dinim where this amount of full mil is relevant. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Abahu, Amar Rav Shlokesh, Legabo, as far as for a kneader of dough. So Rashi explains, suppose you have a person who's preparing, he wants to prepare a batch of dough and make sure that it remains tahor. So now, therefore, he has to make sure before he starts working with the dough, he has to make sure that he toivels all his kalim in case they touched any kind of tumah. Suppose that somebody hires him to do this job for him, to make a batch of dough for him. So now we're saying, so this is an example of 4 mil. Namely, Rashi explains, he would have to go and travel 4 mil up to 4 mil in order to find a mikveh to tovel those kalim. If it's any more than that, then he's entitled to say to the balabas, if you'll reimburse me for my travel expenses, then I'll go even further. If not, then it's too far. There's no mikveh within 4 mil, and therefore I'm just going to have to make your dough b'tumah. That's Rashi's explanation. Tosfos points out that we're talking about going forward, and the Gemara is soon going to talk about going backward. That kind of thing would only be relevant if you're on the road. Now, who hires somebody on the road to make him a batch of dough? So rather, Tosfos brings from the Oroth. What it means is the other way around. It means a person is traveling, he has flour which he wants to have made into bread. And again, he's not necessarily going to need that himself. He's going to hire a professional kneader for the purpose. So if there is a gabel, if there's such a professional kneader who is able to make it the tahara up to four mil away, then he has to wait. He shouldn't go just prepare it himself on the road and do it in a way that's going to be tummy. He should wait up to 4 mil until he reaches the town where that gabel lives, and then give him the flour and the water and have him do the job for you. So that's the gabel. Gulitzfilah, and also as far as davening, so if a person is traveling, it actually explains, and there's a play, he wants already to start for the night, but if there's a shul within 4 mil ahead of where he's going, then he should continue going and go that extra up to 4 mil in order to daven with a minion. There's an interesting bit of discussion in that regard, b'chlal, among the poskim nowadays. To what extent is a person allowed to travel and to a place where there's not going to be a minion and put himself in a situation where for a period of time there's not going to be a minion? To what extent is such a thing even allowed? After all, we're saying over here that even a traveler is supposed to go up to 4 mil to find a minion. In any case, Tosfos offers a different explanation from the Oroch, which is that it means that if it's time for davening and he doesn't have water to wash his hands, that he should go up to 4 mil to find water to wash his hands. But Tosfos says that that's not what the Gemara is talking about. Then Tosfos brings a third explanation from Rabbeinu Chananel that we're talking about as far as a person needs to tovel before davening. Now there is such a thing. The Gemara tells us in Brachas Zgilas Ezra, at one point Ezra made a takana that in order to learn Torah and later on the Chacham said in order to daven as well, a person needs to tovel. Now eventually the Chacham were mevatel it because it was too hard for people. Nevertheless, this is the source why Chassidim tovel and why Chassidim tovel every day is based on that. So now Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chananel that we're talking about over here that if a person is going to be davening. He's traveling, and he needs to go and find a mikveh, then he should go up to four mil ahead. Okay, so three different explanations of what we mean here by litzvila. And the litzilus yadayim, and as far as washing before eating. So if he doesn't have water with him, but there's water where he knows that there's a place where he can find water within 4 mil, don't eat right now, don't eat your bread right now, which you have to wash for. Instead, wait till you get there and wash. When if you really, really, even if it does, even if it comes to, if there's no water from Natilla to Dayan within 4 million, so you have Poskim who say that in that case it would actually be allowed to, you could wrap your hands in a cloth and eat bread. The Alter Rebbe talks about and really doesn't like that idea. There's no heter at all. We learned earlier in our Masechta when we talk about the dinim and the Tzolos Yadayim, we talk about wrapping your hands in order to eat bread. So the Alter Rebbe says there really isn't any such heter. When we're talking about over here would be, for example, other things that we learned over there, wet vegetables or wet fruits or whatever, where technically you have to wash for those as well. Then he says, Yesh Mekilim, some are makel, that if a person is traveling and there's going to be more than 4 mil till he gets to water, then he can wrap his hands and eat. But even then, the Alter Rebbe says, Yesh Chokin, some argue with that, but it's better to be machmir. Okay, so anyway, so these are three things that Rabbi Bohu said as far as 4 mil. So now why are we not mentioning this part about our Mishnah about the 4 mil for treading on the skin? So Tosfos wonders about that and says, because maybe we're talking about things that have to do with Tara. Although the tanning of the letter, indirectly, it has to do with Tara in the sense that now it can't be Matana anymore, but it's not something as direct as we're talking about these things of Lagabal as far as having dough kneaded Matara or to be Tahar before davening, especially according to Rabbi Hananel's explanation that it means toveling before davening, or Natilas Yadayim, all those things have to do with Tara, and therefore Rabbi Bohu mentions those and not other things which also involve 4 mil. Okay, the Gemara says, I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchok, but Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, you don't have it quite right. First of all, it wasn't Rav Bo who said it. It was Aivu who said it, not Rav Bohu. Whoever heard it made a mistake, mixed up the names Aivu and Abohu, and thought that Rav Bohu said it. And second of all, the Avoy Omer Bo, and he said four dinim in this connection, and the fourth one, Vachodiminayu Avoida, and one of them is the matter of Avoida, the matter of how long the skin has to be treaded on in order for it to be considered leather, as we said in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina, Lo Shanu, when we're talking about over here, when we said that a person has to go 4 mil for any of these things, that would be El Lafana. That we're only talking about when it's in the direction, when it's ahead of him, when it's in the direction that he's traveling. But if you're talking about that he has to turn back, he has to backtrack, then he wouldn't even be required to backtrack a mil for any of these things. And by the same token, the person turns out, by the same token, if the person is at home, then also he only has to go a mil for any of these kinds of things. Within that, you have an argument. Doesn't mean that you count a mil from outside the city. In other words, is he chayav to travel anywhere in the city and then outside it up to a mil, or do you mean a mil from his actual house? Anyway, so the Gemara says, Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Umina. Well, Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, well, from that itself that you see, he's saying he doesn't even have to return a mil. That means mil hu de'ena chozer. He doesn't have to return a mil. He doesn't have to backtrack a mil. But if it's less than a mil, he would indeed need to turn around and backtrack in order to find these various things that we talked about. Now this Gemara is also in Pesachim. Rashi explains that we're not talking about all these things. We're only talking about as far as Natilas Yadayim and as far as davening, as far as the gabal, as far as kneading dough. Rashi learns in Pesachim not necessarily that would he even have to backtrack a mil for that. And then there are other Rishonim who disagree with that. Okay. Speaking of skins and when they're matame and when we're not, and as we learned yesterday, human skin is always matame. We talk about maybe d'oraisa, maybe d'rabbanon. So the Gemara says Tanarabbanon, we learn in a braisa, Livyon over Mumakim, when a legion, a Roman legion of soldiers is traveling from one place to another, V'nichnas habayis, if now members of this legion come into a house, habayis tomei, then everything that's in the house is going to become tomei. As usual, in halacha, when we say habayis tomei, as we've learned about this before, doesn't mean the house itself is tomei. Houses are not mekabel tuma, means everything that's in the house, the people, the kalim, the food, whatever, all becomes tomei. Why? She'en l'chok, ligyon v'ligyon, she'en l'kamakar kaflin. Because there's no Roman legion that doesn't have with it several karkaflin. Karkaflin are scalps. Rashi explains they would bring them along as they would use them for witchcraft and magic during the war. So therefore, so they're carrying around these human scalps with them, and we're saying that those are Mitane. But Al Tisman, and don't be surprised, the legions who keep scalps with them, whoever heard of such a thing, as a matter of fact, yes, Shadik HaKafle, Shadik HaKafle, Munach Barosh Malachim. Consider, for example, how the scalp of Rabbi Shmuel is placed on the heads of kings. You have the Rabbi Shmuel was one of the Asara HaRugei Malchus, and we know the story. We say it's on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur, where he was so handsome that the emperor's daughter asked for him to be kept alive. And when the emperor refused, then she said, then strip off the skin of his face. I want to keep it as a keepsake to show how handsome and beautiful he was. And they did that. And that's how Rabbi Shmuel was killed in that way. And the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, they kept that as a memento. They kept that skin in the Roman treasuries, and in the Masechta Avodah Zarah, it talks about how every 70 years they would have a whole festival in Rome where this kaukafla, this scalp of Rabbi Shmuel was used as one of the trophies that they would show off during that procession, as if to show like they had beaten the Jews once and for all. Even though, as the Gemara points out, actually the very words themselves that they said show that they that subconsciously even they realized that eventually they were going to fall and be destroyed too. An interesting question about that is, we learned before that once the skin is preserved, and we said we had the two different versions of what Ullah said, but once the skin has been tanned and preserved, then that's only Metame Midirabanan. So why are we saying over here that because we're not sure if we say that the legions often bring these scalps with them, but maybe they didn't necessarily bring it into the house right now. And second of all, shouldn't we assume that these scalps most likely come from Goyim anyway, and the skin of a Goy, even the body of a Goy, la halacha is not metamed ba'oyhol, only by touching it and carrying it. So there's different explanations. The Maharsham explains that these aren't just scalps, these are actual skulls with everything. But then that wouldn't fit with the thing with Rabbi Shmuel, because they didn't keep a skull, just a scalp. The Tiferes Yaakov explains that it's not even a suffix, it's a vade that they brought in these scalps, and therefore it's a fine. So it's fine. Still Midirabanan, we're going to say it's a vade, and therefore it's a gzera that we're going to make the house. We're going to make the house tamei. And then in addition, also, when you have many kaukaflin, it says that each legion has many of them, almost inevitably there's going to be a Jewish scalp among them, and therefore we should have to be metame the house. Anyway, the Maharsham and Tiferes Yaakov end up saying, evidently, this braisa holds, according to the opinion, that the bodies of goyim are, in fact, the tamid ba'oil, which is not the halacha. In fact, the Rambam doesn't bring this halacha when he brings the halacha to Tumas Nes, because apparently the Rambam understands, like them, that this is only according to the opinions that the body of a goy is also the tamid ba'oil, and the halacha is not like that. It's the tamid only by touching or carrying. Very well, then, unless we have reason to assume that there's a Jewish scalp among them, and even then it would be Tomei only Midirabanan, like we learned before, then therefore, but if it's all Goyish scalps, then we have very little to worry about, then the house is not, in fact, Tomei Boyo. Okay. Let's talk more about this matter of skin, and flesh, as far as when they're considered connected and when not. So in the first Mishnah of our Perek, we learned that when the skin is on the flesh, then it's considered a shomer, and therefore it protects the flesh, and therefore it transmits tuma and becomes tuma along with it. Although we said not tumas nevelus. And then we talked about soft kinds of skins. Now let's talk about regular skins. At what point during the skinning process is the skin no longer considered attached to the flesh anymore, and therefore if the flesh becomes tuma, the skin won't, and vice versa. So the Mishnah says hamafshik bebehema uvachaya. If a person is skinning a domestic or a wild animal, the tahora over tmeya, and it doesn't matter for this purpose whether it's tahora, whether it's a tahor animal that was properly shechted, or uba tmeya, or whether we're talking about a tamei animal, where in the case where it was shechted, Rashi explains, we're talking about suppose the person himself is tamei, or if it's a nevela, which is matame, the person who touches it, then we mean the person himself is tahor. So now, at what point is he going to become tamei, or at what point is he going to be metame the skin or the flesh or whatever? So bedaka or vagasa, and the following dinim that we're going to say apply whether it's a small animal, sheep or goat, or whether it's a large animal, camel. Either way, the difference is not whether the animal is tahor or tamei and properly shefted or not. and the species of animal, the difference is strictly going to be what purpose you're skinning it for. Different purposes that you skin the animal for, you're going to skin it in different ways. You're going to start from different ways. You're going to start from different parts, and you're going to do it in different ways. So, l'shatiach, if he's skinning the animal in order to use the skin for spread. So, for example, Rashi explains for a bedspread or for a tablecloth or whatever. So then Rashi just says that in that case he just skins it in the normal way like we do. In other words, fine, he makes a cut in the skin and he starts peeling off the skin. So the Rambam in fact explains in more detail, he'll make a cut along the length of the animal, along the underside of the animal. He'll make one long cut from the neck all the way down to the tail, and then he'll use that, and then he'll start skinning the end, and then he'll start pulling the skin off the flesh from there. So now, kidei achiza. So then, once he strips off enough of the skin, where he's able to grab a hold of it, now that skin is considered a yad for the flesh, and as we learned before, yad is able to transmit tumor in either direction. But if he does more, in other words, the idea would be only when he does just kedei achiza. But if he does more than that, if he strips off more of it, so again, if the animal was in the vela, for example, then at that point, if he touches the skin, he's going to become tame by virtue of it being in the vela, because it's going to be a yad for the flesh, and vice versa. If he himself is tame and the animal was tahor, then when who's tame touches that skin, he's going to transmit tumah to the meat. As opposed to more than that, no. If he strips off more of the skin than that, then already it's not considered a yad, because then it's not as useful for holding on to, as the Gemara is going to explain. That's as far as if he's doing regular skinning, where again he makes one cut along the length of the animal and then starts at the edges of that cut and peels the skin back from it. What about a lachemis? What about if he's skinning the animal intending to use it for a skin bottle? So now what it is, instead of when a person skins an animal to use it for a bedspread or whatever, then he wants a flat sheet, he wants to come out with a more or less flat sheet of skin. As opposed to when he wants to use it for a bottle, for example, Rashi gives an example that they would use such bottles, for example, to store honey. So then he wants to make sure that it stays, then he wants that the whole circumference of it should stay intact. After all, he doesn't want to have a seam in it where things could leak out. So necessarily, therefore, what he's doing is, Rashi describes, he's going to start from the head end of the animal and start working his way down towards the tail and then peel it off, sort of like you think of it, like when you take off a person peels off their socks or something or different other pieces of clothing. Sometimes, like, you know, you flip it inside out. So therefore, that's the kind of skinning we're talking about over here, where he's flipping the skin inside out as he's skinning the animal. So then, the skin is still considered a yad ad sheyapshet as a chaza until he reaches the chest of the animal. And now the idea is like this: when it comes to the previous case where he's skinning it in a way where he wants a flat piece. So sometimes, for example, so Tosfos points out that First of all, after kedei achiza, which we're going to define later what kedei achiza means, after that, then you're able to hold the flesh itself. You don't really need to hold on to the skin anymore, because now you have enough of the flesh itself exposed that you can handle it by that. Tosfos says that's one explanation. Another explanation is because until you reach kedei achiza, it's very hard to skin it. So sometimes you may leave it like that, and then you're going to use that little bit of skin to move it around from one place to another. Once you reach kedei achiza, then it's not so hard to skin it anymore. Then you're just going to finish the job. Well, in that case, Tosfos says, then when you're talking about when you're flipping the skin inside out, the chest of the animal is very hard to skin. I guess the skin is very tightly attached to the muscles over there. So therefore, so as long as you haven't reached that point yet, you may sort of give up and say, you know what, it's too hard, I'm just going to leave it that way, and then I'm going to use it to handle the animal that way. But once you've gotten past the chazer, once you've gotten past the chest, then you've gotten over the hard part, and then you're just going to, then you're more likely to finish it off, because then the rest of it is a lot easier. So that would explain, Tosfos says, why up until you reach the chest, then it's considered then the skin is considered connected to the flesh. As far as the dinim of Tumah V'Tahara, Whereas once you get that past that point, then Rashi also mentions the point that the chest is the hardest to skin of all the Evarim, and that's what Tosfos explains further, that because it's the hardest to skin, therefore a person, before he reaches that point, is likely to give up, whereas after that he's not. Okay. Now you have a third place, a margil. Then you have a case where a person is skinning it beginning from the legs. So Rashi explains that he's going from the legs towards the head, and again, he wants to have it intact. He wants to have it with the circumference complete in order to use it for a bottle or something. The Rambam gives a different explanation, which is on the contrary. What it does is he does want to keep it complete, but unlike Rashi, who says he starts from the legs, the Rambam learns that margil means he finishes with the legs. He keeps the whole skin intact and makes it and maneuvers it so that he can eventually get it off one leg, and therefore that's very difficult to do. And therefore, so now the Mishnah says, Kolei Chibur L'Tuma, L'Tame or L'Tame, so all of the skin will be considered connected as far as Tuma, as far as becoming Tame together with the flesh, or as far as transmitting Tuma from the person who's Tame. Either way, the whole thing will be connected, because that kind of skinning is very difficult to do. So Rashi explains the reason is because then when you're doing it from the legs, then Rashi explains, then the last thing you're doing is the chest, because you're going from the legs, you're going upward, and therefore you reach the chest last, and therefore, so it's the same basic din, as the same basic concept as the previous din of the Mishnah. Once you reach the chest, then it's no longer considered connected, but up until you reach that point, because it's very difficult to skin, then therefore it would still be considered connecting. According to the Rambam's understanding, the whole thing would be connected, because until he actually gets it off the legs, then it's going to be very difficult to do it up to that point. But what about Osha ala Saver, when it comes to the skin around the neck? So Rashi explains the skin around the neck comes off very easily. It's very loose. So therefore, it can't really be considered connected. Unlike with the chest, where we can say that as long as it wasn't, skin, then you still haven't gotten over the hard part yet, and therefore you may give up or something. As Tosfos has said, here when it comes to the neck, Rashi points out that it means that the skin on the neck is very, very loosely, is very loosely connected anyway, and therefore it's not even really considered connected to the rest of the skin. Later on, and then Omid Beis, in the Gemara, Rashi's gonna explain that it means something else. It's not so much that it's not connected to the rest of the skin, but rather it's not considered to be connected to the flesh at all. It's not considered a shomer. So in fact, the Rosh points out, Rashi seems to have changed his mind and between the Mishnah and then the Gemara. And the Marshan and Maharam actually question what Rashi says over here based on what the Gemara says on Amun Beis, and so therefore, so that's the answer. So Rashi sometimes, so it can be that Rashi changed his mind based on what it says in the Gemara. Other Mephoshim point out that sometimes Rashi will just explain in each place according to the context. Rashi, after all, even though Rashi was a Posek, that's not his main function. And explaining the Gemara, his main purpose in explaining the Gemara is partially that we should be able to understand it, so therefore he doesn't mind sometimes giving an inconsistent explanation in one place versus another, in each place according to the context. So here he would be explaining according to the context of the Mishnah, that we're just saying that the skin on the neck comes off very easily, and therefore it's not considered when it's still on. It should be considered that the rest of the skin is still considered connected, so therefore that leads us to the previous din of the Mishnah, that once he passed the chest, even though he hasn't skinned the neck yet, that it's not considered connected anymore. And then later on in the Gemara, because the Gemara understands things somewhat differently, therefore Rashi is going to understand over there that it means the skin on the neck itself is never considered connected and is never considered a shomer for the meat underneath. The Mishnah continues, Rav Yechon ben Nuri Omer, Einei Chibur. So now, as far as the skin on the neck, Rav Yechon ben Nuri says it's not considered connected for the reasons that we just said. The Chum say, nevertheless, it's still considered connected until you skin the whole thing, and until then, it's still considered a yad. Sure, the fact is, it does come off much more easily than other skin. But nevertheless, it's still one continuous thing, and therefore it can still be considered a yad. So again, so we have three different cases in the Mishnah. You have the case where you're skinning the animal in the normal way, you make a cut along the length of it ventrally, and then you peel away from one side of that and the other. We're there, once it's Kedei Achiza, which the Gemara is going to define for us now, then it's not considered a Yad anymore. Then you have where he's doing it, where he's turning the skin inside out, starting from the neck area, where there we say it's considered connected until he reaches the chest. After that, the hard part is over, and then the rest of it is not considered connected anymore, as far as Tumah V'Tahara. And then you have where he's doing it a Margil, where again Rashi explained that it means he's starting from the feet, and the Rambam understands that it means he's starting from the neck, just like before, but the difference is that he wants the dadka take it off one leg so it stays completely intact, then we're saying the whole thing would be considered connected still. So the Gemara says so we said Kedei Achiza up until the point that's used as a handle. So Mikanva Elach Mai. What about after? All the dinim of our Mishnah. In the first two dinim, we said there's a certain point where the skin is not considered connected anymore. So once it comes to the regular kind of skinning, Kedei Achiza, or when it comes to the second kind of skinning, where he's flipping it inside out and he gets past the Chaza, Mai. What would be the din? What would be the din as far as the skin? Is it not considered a yad anymore, or is it still considered a yad? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Tahar Amufsha. It means that what the skin so far is not considered a yad anymore, because at that point you're not going to use it to handle the flesh anymore. At that point you're going to finish the skinning, and therefore you're not going to use the skin to handle the flesh anymore. Or Tosfos says the other possibility is because again, until you reach that point, because it's very difficult to do, you may give up on it and leave it that way, whereas after that you're for sure going to finish it. Rav Asi says no. Tefach hasamuch labasar tameh. The one tefach closest to the flesh is going to become tameh, is still going to be considered a yad. Because you hold on to that tefach, to the tefach closest to the flesh, and you use that to grab and pull the thing. Anything beyond that, then you're not going to use. So Rav is saying, therefore, that all of it is not a yad anymore, whereas Rav Asi says always the tefach closest to the flesh is still going to be considered a yad. Now here's where Tosfos discusses in some detail that according to Rashi, then in the second case involving what we're saying until you reach the chest, and we're saying that it would be considered a yad. Well, why is it in that kind of case? You have much more than Kedei Achiza. Why would you be holding to such a large area, of the skin all the way down from the neck to the chaza, which is a huge amount? So rather, Tosfos says that no, it's a matter of a shomer. So as long as you haven't skinned the chest yet, then all of it is considered a shomer. So now the question is, what about afterwards? Is the tefach that's closest to the flesh, is it considered a shomer? Tosfos goes into some detail about that, about how we would understand this distinction over here. Tosfos also points out, we learned before, that only skin that has flesh directly underneath it is considered to be a shomer. But here we would say that all of it would still be considered connected, and therefore we would still say that even the parts that don't have flesh underneath them anymore, because they've already been skinned, can still be considered connected and can still be considered a yad. Okay. The Gemara says, they have a contradiction on Rav Asi. A brisa says, "Hamachshik kashir azeh." Once a person has skinned the animal to these amounts said in the Mishnah, mikan ve'elach. After that, anything more than kedei achiza or past these chests, as the case may be, and again, but mufshat tahor. That if someone touches the skinned part of the skin, then he's tahor. In other words, when we're talking about, suppose the animal is in nevela, he would become tameh up until that point, because by touching the skin, it's considered that he's touching a yad or a shomer of the flesh. But now that's skinned enough, then he wouldn't. Now my love after the tefach, Now doesn't the braise doesn't specify? So shouldn't we assume that it means even if he touches the tefach that's closest to the flesh, and that would be not like Rav Asi? And the answer is like, not necessarily. The Telavad, the Kefa Hasamach Labasha, means outside of that Kefa. If he touches within that Kefa, the Braisa is not addressing that one. Okay, we must have Toshma. Fine, let's bring another proof. A Braisa says, Ba'ur Shekneged Abasar, if he touches the skin, which is directly opposite the flesh, meaning the part that he didn't skin yet, Tomei, then he's Tomei if the animal is an Avela, because then it's then the Shomer of the flesh. Of the flesh that's underneath. Well, that's the Braisa. So the implication, Shekneged Abasar Tomei, only the part that has flesh directly underneath it, which has not been skinned yet, then he would be Tomei. Called the Kefa Hasamach Labasar Tahor. It sounds like any part that was stripped off, even if it's within a Kefa of the flesh, then he would be Tahor. Well, that exactly matches what Rav says. So that matches what Rav says. So doesn't that contradict Rabasi? The answer is no. Tana kol Kefa Hasamach Labasar or Shekneged Abasar Kari Lei. No, because Rabasi will say that the tefach that's closest to the flesh, which is still considered a yad, the braisa will call that skin, which is still keneged, which is still opposite in front of the flesh. So in other words, because even though the taka doesn't have flesh directly attached to it, but it's within a tefach of it, and it's used as a yad, and therefore the braisa will call it that. So the braisa can be a support for Rav, but it's not necessarily a contradiction on, Ravas. Tosfos brings a different girsa that the question was that if the tefach that's closest to the flesh is tomei, then how does it fit with Rav, who would say that all of it is tahor? And the answer is that first tefach, until you reach kedei akeda, until you've skinned the first tefach, then that would be metame. And even Rav would agree to that, because when you haven't yet skinned the tefach, then yeah, the whole skin is considered a shomer for the flesh. So the Gemara goes on. Toshma, fine. Let's bring another proof. Hamashit the behemah over chayev, a Torah over tmeya. A person is skinning an animal, whether domestic or wild, whether tahor or tamei. But dak over gasa, whether small animals or whether large animals. Then we have, like we said in the Mishnah, l'shatiyah kedei achiza. If he's doing it in order to make a bedspread or a table spread or whatever, namely he wants a flat piece, then kedei achiza. Then it would be the amount to grab onto, which is going to be a tefach, as the Gemara is going to say soon. The tefach hasamach labasar tahor, and even the tefach that's closest to the flesh, he would also be tahor. Well, that clearly says that like Rav, because Rav Ashi is saying that if it's within that the tefach closest to the flesh is always going to be metame. So the answer is no, because Rav Ashi will answer both of my skin the tefach rishon, because you're talking about it here, the first tefach that's close to kedei achiza. He only skinned off two tefachim. So now, what's going to happen? Rashi explains it's easier at that point to grab the edge of the skin and to pull the animal by it rather than reaching down and to dap within a tefach of the flesh. So, and in practice, what is he actually going to do? He's not going to just peel off the skin. He's going to continue using a knife for the purpose. Once he's reached three or four tefachim, and now already the skin that he peeled off is now weighing down. So now at that point, he's going to pull on the skin and use that to continue the skinning, because at that point, the weight of the skin itself will help him do the job. So in other words, Rashi is explaining that we said a tefach, and as the Gemara is going to explain in a second, what we mean is tefach kofel. We mean a double tefach. So in other words, the point is, when a person is first skinning, he can't pull on the skin itself to get it away from the flesh. It's too tightly attached. Once he's peeled off several tefachim, then he's able to use the weight of the skin itself to do the job better. But up until that point, he really needs a knife. And therefore, you can't really say, so up until that point, it is kedei achiza. In fact, he's going to have to hold the edge of the skin with one hand and use the knife with the other to cut it away from the flesh. And therefore, Rav Ashi will say that's what the braisa means, that's when it says, even the tefach, some of a basar tahor, means when it's that first tefach, then at that point, he's still not really grabbing a hold of his skin yet. He's still he's still using the knife to cut it. So therefore, so that would be what the Braisa means, that it's not Matamah. So therefore, so it's not a contradiction on him, because it doesn't mean that here Rav Asi had said, Tepach HaSamach L'Basar Tameh, fine. But when we're first skinning, the Rav Asi is talking about in a later stage of the skinning, whereas here the Braisa is talking about an earlier stage. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tona, we learn in a Braisa, Kama Kedei Achiza, what is considered Kedei Achiza, what's considered the amount that you grab a hold of, Tefach, would be a Tefach. So the Gemara asks, well, Tanya and Tifchayim, don't we learn in a Braisa that it's two Tefachim? And the answer is, I'm going to buy a Tefach Kofel. What it really means is a double Tefach. In other words, Rashi says sometimes a tefach actually means a double tefach, as in the sense that Rashash explains. Sometimes you hold something with your two hands, well, two hands, each one is a tefach, so therefore you have two tefachim. And the Gemara says, Tanya Nami, so that's the idea. In other words, again, that you're using that two tefachim to grab a hold of, to pull the carcass towards you, to skin it better, or that you're using it, that you're holding on to the skin itself while you're skinning it. And Kaninami Hoki, we learn indeed in Braisa like that, Kama Kedei Achiza, what is considered Kedei Achiza, Tefach Kofel, a double Tefach. So therefore, up until you've skinned two Tefachim of the animal, then we're saying the skin is considered connected, and therefore the person would be Tomei by touching it, because it would be a Yab. But once you get past that point, then we're saying that the skin, when you're doing the shatiach, to have a flat piece of leather, then we're saying once you get beyond two tefachim, then the skin is no longer considered connected, and then therefore, a person touches it, he's not going to become tameh, even if we're talking about a neveva over here. And according to Rav Asi, always the tefach closest to the skin, closest to the flesh, is always going to be metameh, and only beyond that not. Now the Gemara is going to start with a discussion on a different matter of Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, as far as cloth that rips, and then eventually the Gemara is going to bring in our Mishnah in the course of the discussion. So the Gemara says Tnanhos, and we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Kelim, Talus Shehisfo Bolakora. If you have a talus that became tameh and you started ripping it because you're intending, you want to rip it and make it, now it won't be considered a talus anymore, and now therefore it'll the tumah of it will go away. So the Mishnah says kivin shenikra ruba. So even once most of it has been ripped, and now it's not suitable for its original purpose anymore, then even if you still have a piece 3x3 etzbois left, which usually is enough to be makabel tuma, but here kiven shenikra ruba, once most of it has been torn shuvein echibur, then it's not considered connected anymore or tahora, and therefore the whole thing is tahor. So in other words, we're not concerned that he might do only half of it and not do the majority of it. Hirashi explains the same way, for example, as play cheres, the same way we find with earthenware palin, for example. Once they're broken, then it's tahor, even if the fragments of it in and of themselves are able to be makabel tumah, but the keli as a whole will no longer be makabel tumah. Now Rashi brings a point that we learned in an earlier parak of our Masechta. We had a case where you had a piece of cloth 3x3 tefachim, which was tamei midras, which was tamei by a zov sitting or standing or whatever on it, and it became tamei by that, and it was also tamei by virtue of a zov touching it. And then we said, now if he tore it, so it won't have tumas midras anymore because now it's too small to sit on, but it's still tamei from the fact that the zov touched it. So you see, therefore, Rashi says, whatever tumah can remain still remains. Rashi says, because there we were talking about it had two different tumahs on it. It had tumah midras, which is a stronger tumah, as well as it had a weaker tumah of that the zav touched it. So now, when it's divided, so that takes away the stronger tumah, but you still have the weaker tumah. Here we're talking about, though, the whole thing was just, it had one kind of tumah. It had the tumah of the regular tumah of 3x3 of 3x3 its balls. So now when he tears it, then that accomplishes now that tumah goes away, and that's it, and you have nothing more, and you have nothing more to worry about. Tosfos refers over here to what they said on that sugya. Where they asked Sanashi, what do you mean? What's the logic? Why is there a difference between one tumah and two tumahs? The fact is, it's still the size of a beged. And so, so it should still have Tumah. So Torah discusses earlier in the Masechta discusses in some detail what exactly is going on over here, and what Tumah would still have versus what. So it was a long Tosfos over there where explained that as you're cutting it away, then it's still touching the remaining part, and therefore it becomes Tumah. And Tosfos asked on that over there and had a long discussion. That over here, the fact is that it's still a piece of cloth, and therefore it still retains the weaker tumor, even if it loses the stronger tumor. But then Tosfos says you can be talking about he tore it into many pieces. None of them are three tefachim, none of them are three etzvos wide. So even if they're still attached at one end, but nevertheless it's still considered as if it went all the way to the end. So, okay. In any case, so that's the Mishnah, and that's the Mishnah. Now, so Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Avor, Lo Shana Elo Talas Tvulas Yoyim. Now, this would only apply where it's enough to rip most of it, and you don't have to rip it all the way through, would be only if a talus was already toibul that day, and you ripped it before it had a head of shemesh. As usual, with things that become tummy, you have to, you have to you toibul things, then you need a head of shemesh, you have to wait till nightfall, until it becomes completely charred. So in any case, so now, after he tovled it, and before hair of Shemesh, then he ripped it. So now we can say, demigur de lechos Allah, since he didn't care about it, he wasn't worried about that, it might get ruined, the akbala, and he tovled it, even though tovling might ruin the garment, so now, lechayis halal, then we can assume he's also not going to have, and he's not going to care about the keli, about the garment, the korol aruba, and he will in fact tear through the majority of it. So we don't have to make a zera, that he might not tear the majority, and it's still going to be makabal, it's still going to be tame, because once we see that he doesn't care whether it gets ruined, then we can also assume when he tears it, he'll tear it enough that it'll be ruined. But says Rav Nachman, if it wasn't toibul, even if he tears most of it, it wouldn't be good enough. He has to tear it from end to end. Gzeira, jomalei also the mikra roba, because there he has to make a gzeira because he might not rip the whole thing. He might only rip exactly half, and then think that it's roiv, and then it's still gonna retain its tumah. So one difference also, one point about this whole machlokas of Rashi and Tosfos about what exactly is the scenario over here, that Ramban points out that there's a difference between whether you tore it deliberately or whether, which is what the Gemara would be talking about over here, versus the Gemara Udiyo and Armasekta would be talking about where it was torn by itself. And therefore it still retains the tumor, whereas here we're talking about that it wouldn't. But again, Rav Nachman is telling us only if you toibled it first, demonstrating therefore that you're not worried if the beged is going to get ruined. But Omer Rabba Shtei Tshuvos V'Dava. But Rabba says, was a different use of Rava, says there's two refutations of that. There's two reasons why not to accept that distinction. Choda Shema Yema Basu Tvila Basu Yema Ola. First of all, if you're going to tell me even you toiled the keli, you toiled the garment, and it didn't yet have head of Shemesh, and now you're going to say if you rip it, then and you rip the majority of it, now it's not Tomei anymore. Shema Yomu, you have a different problem. People are going to think Tvilabas Yomu Ola, that to an entire piece of clothing, all you need to do is Tovel it. They're not going to realize that it's still a Tvil Yom. So then in that case, so precisely in order to forestall that mistake, shouldn't we require that it always needs head of Shemesh? So if anything, the Mishnah would more logically be talking about where it wasn't Tovel. And then he whipped it. The oin, and furthermore, continues Rabba or Rabba, consider another example where you need a majority. Oilas ha'oif, the Rabbalaz of Rab Shimon, what about when it comes to an oilas ha'oif, according to the Rabbalaz of Rab Shimon, where we learned Udiyah and the Masechta, that when it comes to an oilas ha'oif, you don't cut through the entire two simonim. He holds you have to cut through only the majority of the two simonim because he learns it from the chatas. By the chatas, the Torah says lo yavdil, and he learns the same thing as by an ola. So according to him, how could you do that? How could you say that you just have to cut through the majority of the two simonim and you're not allowed to cut through the majority? You're not allowed to cut through all of them. The same thing. You should make the same kind of zera. What if he doesn't do the majority of the two simonim because then he's afraid of passing the korbanos. He's afraid of passing on the korban.
So how would we allow such a thing? Now, Tosfos says, listen, okay, there's a custom, is that you have to do it that way. But fine, the point is, Tosfos says, it sounds like Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon is saying that it's enough if he has just have a bare majority. But based on this, we should say he should make a gzera and require him to do a significant majority, a visible majority. So in other words, it wouldn't just be enough to do 50% plus a little bit. He should have to do like 2/3 or 3/4 or something. And yet we don't see that. So therefore, so we see, says Rabba or Rava, that we don't make such gzeras just because a person might mix up, might do something which is exactly half and think that it was a majority. So Ligza, Dumaloy, also the Mabin, Rav Shnayim, shouldn't he make a gzera that maybe he might not cut through the majority of both, and yet we don't make such a gzera? Omalei Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef says, as far as your two questions, Bikam, gzera shamiyem, tevila bas yema oila. The fact that you're concerned that if this beggar was toiveled, now people are going to think that you don't even need head of shemesh, all you need is toiveling. Well, kira mechia chabal, the very fact that it was whipped shows that not. People are going to realize that it's tar because it was whipped, not because only it was toiveled. You're worried about a point of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. Why shouldn't we have to make a gzera that if he does slightly more than half, then he might do exactly half and think that that's enough? Well, the answer is Kohenim's risen him. The Kohenim are very careful and very diligent, and they're going to make sure to do the right thing. Fine. The Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring another proof. We learned in our Mishnah how mafshit bebehema, but this is why we're bringing in the sugya over here, because we're bringing in our Mishnah as a proof. So how mafshit bebehema v'chayev, it's mei over tahora, v'dak over gas. So we said that a person is skinning an animal, domestic or wild, tomei tahor, or smaller lard, l'shatiyah. So we said if he's skinning it, in order to make a spread where he wants a flat piece, a more or less flat piece of leather, kedei achiza. Then he said kedei achiza up until the point when he skins one tefach, or we said an omen aleph, it really means a double tefach, two tefachim, then it's considered connected. Now, ha yosef kedei achiza tahor. Well, the implication is, of course, that if he did more than kedei achiza, then it's tahor. Now, if he touches the skin, he won't become tamei from the nevela, or vice versa. If he's tamei and the animal is tahor, he won't transmit tuma to the animal by way of the skin. Well, am I? Well, why? By the same logic. By the same logic of Rabba or Rava. Ligzo Jumalai Osilamabin, Ela Kadechiza, shouldn't he make a Gzeira? And he might only skin exactly Kadechiza and think that he did more, the Kanoga Matuma, and then he's touching something that's tummy. Become a Tarin and lay, and we're going to say that the meat or the person is Tahar, and we're going to be mistaken on that because, in fact, we're going to think that the skin is not long enough already that it's not considered kedei achiza, and therefore that's more than kedei achiza, and therefore he's tahor. And meanwhile, you might mistakenly think that really if not. Now Tosfos asks, wait a minute, we just said as far as the garment that once he doesn't care about it, he doesn't worry about whether it gets wound, therefore we can assume he'll rip it properly. Well, by the same token over here, doesn't he want to skin the animal completely? Why should we be concerned that he might not have skinned it enough? And Tosfos says, fine, on the contrary, though, he might not want to skin too much of it, because as long as he doesn't, it's much easier to pull around and handle around and use that skin as a handle for the rest of it, and therefore he may taka not skin eventually. Of course, he wants to skin the whole thing, but meanwhile, at the beginning, he may, in fact, not do more than the bare minimum, and therefore we're concerned he might not even do the bare minimum. So why aren't we concerned about that? And the answer is either Tumah Daraisa or Hanami. You know what? If the Tumah of our Mishnah was Daraisa, for example, the animal was a Nevela, then you're right. In fact, we should be concerned about that. Hachem, my skin, the Tumah Dirabanan. What we're talking about over here, when it's a Tumah Dirabanan, so the person himself who's doing the skinning himself is Tumah with a Tumah Dirabanan. Rashi explains, namely, for example, you have this Yud Ches Dabo, you have 18 famous Gzeiris that the Chachamim made, where at one point the Shammai outnumbered Bes Hillel, and there were goys of 18 Gzeiris. They're called the Yud Ches Dabo, and among them are a number of cases where a person becomes Tumah Dirabanan. One example Rashi brings is if a person's head and the majority of his body is in mayim sh'uvim, is in drawn water, then the Rabbanan becomes tamei for reasons that the Gemara explains in the Masechta Shabbos. So now, suppose this animal is kodshim. So now, fine, if we're talking about chulin, there's still no problem. He's only tamei the Rabbanan, he's not going to be tamei the carcass of the animal. But suppose that the animal is kodshim, then he's going to be tamei the Rabbanan. Well, then therefore, so because it's only a tumor that I've done, and we know it's to be so machmir and worried about what if he didn't skin enough of it. So the Gemara says tomei, it's a tenach tomei b'tahora. Okay, well that explains the case of the Mishnah where we said with tomei person who's skinning a tahor animal, a tahor b'tmeya. But what about if it's a tahor person skinning a tomei animal, where you're talking about a tumor daraisa of neveva, or in that case then tumor daraisa, then aren't you talking about a tumor daraisa? Because a neveva is tumor daraisa, and the Mishnah had said after all bein b'tmeya bein b'tahora. So in other words, the dinim of our Mishnah apply equally well, whether it's a behemoth tahora or a behemoth tmeya. Well, if it's a behemoth tmeya, then already you're talking about nevela, and that's a truma daraisa. The answer is no. The answer is no. When we say tmeya, means the trefa. It doesn't mean a behemoth tmeya like a horse or something. It means a kosher animal which is trefa. So the Gemara asks, wait a minute, Trefa Bastamul Yehi? Okay, well, in that case, then where is the Tumah in the first place? The Trefa is not, a Trefa is not capable of being Matame anything. It's still, you can't eat it, but it's not Matame. And the answer is, hey, yes, Kedavu or the Shmuel, like what the father of Shmuel says, which we learned earlier in our Mishnah, the Da'amav or the Shmuel, Trefa Shashakta, Matama Mokdoshin. That yes, it is able to be Matame when you're talking about Kodshin, when you have an animal of Kodshin that was Trefa and was shafted, then Midrabanon, he becomes Tomei by touching it. So there is in fact that case. So our Mishnah, when it says Bein Mitzmeya, Bein Mitzahora, you're right. We're not talking about Tmeya, where it would be Mitzame Daraisa. We're talking about the Tmeya, the Tahora of our Mishnah means the person himself is Tomei with a Tumah D'Rabbanon, and the Tmeya of our Mishnah means where the animal itself transmits Tumah D'Rabbanon, namely where it was an animal of Kodshim that became a Terefa. But in fact, if we were talking about where there was a Tumah D'Oraisa, then in fact, yes, based on Rabba or Rabba's logic, we would in fact have to make a Gzeira, because what if he doesn't strip off enough of the skin, and he thinks he stripped off enough, and he's going to touch it, and there's going to be Tumah D'Oraisa, and he's not going to realize. Okay, we want to say Toshma, let's bring another proof to show that we don't necessarily make such a Gzeira. A Braisa says, Rav Destroy Ben Yehuda Mishum Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Destroy Ben Yehuda says in the name of Rav Shimon, if a person is skinning a sheretz, one of the shmona shrotzim, whereas we looked before, some of them have skins that are distinct from their flesh, and their skins are not matane. Others of them, we said, have soft skins, and they are. So for Hebrew, actually, yakshetas kolay, it's considered all connected until he skins the entire thing, even if it's more than kedei achisa. Now, why would that be? So we can say, because when it comes to shrutz, and when it comes to these small animals, the skin is very tightly attached to the flesh, to the muscles, and therefore it's very difficult to remove. So that would be the equivalent of some of the cases in our Mishnah where you have an animal, where you have parts of an animal that are very difficult to skin. But the implication is hob gomel, but if it was, for example, a camel or any other kind of non-kosher animal, ain't a chibur. When once you reach past kedei achiza, then it's not considered connected anymore. Well, then how is Rav Nachman telling us? It was Rav Nachman before who said that we have to make a zera. It was Rabba who had asked about that. Why should we have to? So fine, according to Rav Nachman, why we see that this braisa clearly says, is clearly implying that by a camel or other large animal, we don't make such a zera. Well, according to Rav Nachman, why not? So the answer is no, because that's not the inference you should learn from the Mishnah. Lo tema habagomel ein echibur. Don't infer from the braisa that it's making a distinction between a sheretz and a camel, and say that by a camel, once it's beyond kedei achiza, that it's not considered connected. No, ela ema ba'ushalat saber ein echibur. But rather, infer from the braisa that when it comes to shrotim, then you have to skin the whole thing, and until then, the skin is considered connected and it's still considered a yad. But when it comes to a camel, once you reach the neck, then it's not considered connected anymore. And we're talking about the case of our Mishnah where he's turning the skin inside out and doing it from the legs. So in fact, if he's doing it with shatiyah, so a spread, then in fact it would be tomei more than kedei achiza, like Rav Nachman is saying, because they were talking about tumah daraisa, and what if he doesn't skin enough of it and he thinks that he did? But when we're talking about skinning, the point is that with a camel, there does come a point, or a large non-kosher animal like that, there does come a point when it's not considered connected anymore, and when would that point be? When you reach the neck. Because at that point, it's very easy to skin it off. And in that case, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and in that case, our Braisa would be according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who had said in the Mishnah that the skin of the that the skin of the neck is not considered connecting. So therefore, so you're not going to make a zera that he might not reach till the neck, because that's very noticeable whether you've reached the neck or not. But when you have between a bare minimum and more and exactly half, this is a bare minimum, it might not be so obvious. And the same thing, it might not be so obvious the distinction between Kedei Achiza and less than Kedei Achiza, and therefore Rabbi Nachman is going to say that we have reason to make a gzera, because you may confuse one for the other, and you may think when there's a Truma D'oraisa involved, you may think that it is actually you may think there's no Truma involved, and you're not going to realize that there is. Fine. More on this topic of we said before about this matter of ripping the talus, where we said that if you rip the talus enough, then it becomes tougher. And again, are we talking about where you just made one rip in it? Are we talking about, as Tosfos had said earlier, where you made many rips in it, etc.? So, Amar Rav Huna, Shum Rav Shimon ben Rav Yosi, Rav Huna says in the name of Rav Shimon, or Rav Shmuel ben Rav Yosi, it's really specific, Lo Shanu, Ela Shalei Shir Bakadei Ma'apoyas. That would apply that it's now tar, that this talus is now tar, only if he didn't leave enough of the cloth intact to make a ma'apoyas. Rashi explains that a ma'apoyas is a sudir, is a scarf. Rashi brings from Targum, from an example from Targum, where we find that. Avashir b'kadei ma'apoyas, but if you left a large a piece that's large enough by itself to be a scarf, chibur, then the whole thing is still considered connected, and therefore the fact that you tore it does not take away the tumah. Tosfos refers to a Gemara in Zvachim that we learned a few months ago that says that even then it will be tumah and we do Rabbanon. Because he might not rip most of it. The Gemara explained over there, because you can have a case where the big kahuna, for example, became, they had blood of Korbanus scratched on them, and now you need to, and now you know, and then, and you know, no, not the big kahuna, but regular cloth, where it became tome, or no, not became tome, it had blood of Korbanus scratched on it, and as we learned in Zvachim, you have to wash it in the Azara, but what if the clothing is also tome? Then we said you have to rip it over there to the point where it doesn't have tome d'oraisa, and then you can bring it into the Azara and wash it, and we said there that even if there's more, even though there's more than kedei, it will be Tomei, but that's only the Rabbanon, and therefore, so then, and for that purpose, we can do that. There was an explanation in Evan Ozel on the Rambam that would only be, like Rav Nachman had said before, if you didn't toivel it, where you have this concern that you might not rip it properly. But if it was toiveled, then even if it was Kedei Ma'apoyas, then it would actually work, and it wouldn't be Tomei anymore. Further on this topic, I'm going to shlokish leshanu el a talus. Now, furthermore, that din applies only to a talus that once you rip through the majority of it, then it's not tumah anymore, provided, again, if it was not kedei ma'apoyas, that would only be when it comes to a talus made out of fabric. But when it comes to skin, when it comes to leather, then just because you cut through the majority of it is not enough to be metaher yet, cholim, because it joins back together very easily. The word cholim literally means heal is. So in other words, it still has a strength. The remaining part that was not torn is still very strong. And now if you sew it up, it'll be just as strong as it was originally. So therefore, it's not considered bottle. Tosfos points out that actually fine, but it was still that's one opinion. So the Shulchan says that when it comes to skin, cholim, it still has a strength there. The leather has a certain strength there, and therefore, even if you tore it, even if you tore the majority of it, it's still going to be tummy. Rabbi Yechonam afila urnami lo cholim. Whereas Rabbi Yechonam says no, even skin, even leather, does not have that kind of strength there, and therefore, even with leather, once you ripped it to the majority, then already it's not Tommy anymore. The fact that leather is different than cloth, Rabbi Yechonam says, doesn't make a difference. Now Tosfos points out that here it wouldn't be kedei ma'apoyas. It wouldn't be that when there's enough for a scarf, it would have to be, as the Gemara is going to mention soon, that skin, that leather, has a minimum shear to become tamei of 5 by 5 tefachim. So here we'd have to be talking about then, we're talking about that Rabbi Yochanan would say that if it's less than 5 tefachim, then it's not tamei anymore. So the Gemara says, Eitzke Rabbi Yochanan l'Rosh Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan asks on Rosh Lakish, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Kelim. Or Tomei Midrash, if you have a skin that's Tomei Midrash, because a Zav laid on it or stepped on it or whatever, and we're talking about, as usual, something that is meant to, that is meant to lie on or sit on or whatever. So now the Mishnah says, suppose a person decided that he's going to use the skin, he's going to use this leather, he's going to cut it up to make straps or to make sandals. Once he applied the leather worker's knife to it, then even if it's still out, then it's tahor and it loses the tumah of midras that it had. Do you read Rabbi Yehuda? That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Only if he gets it below the size of 5 tefachim, because 5 tefachim is the regular minimum amount. 5 by 5 tefachim is the regular minimum amount for leather to be able to become tahor. So once you get it below that size, then it won't be tummy. Now, Rabbi Yochanan points out, ki mamet le'miya tahor. Now, the point is, even the chachamim agree that once you get it below 5 by 5, then it's tahor, it loses its tumah. Now, amai, according to you, they're shlokit. Why should that be? Le'macholim, shouldn't we say, the fact is you didn't cut it completely into separate pieces, you only cut it, and now you have parts of it that are less than 5 by 5, but they're all connected together at the other end. So yet the Mishnah seems to be saying that at that point, even the Chachamim will agree that it's not Tomei anymore. But according to you, the Shlokish that you're bringing in, this matter of Cholim, the fact that that leather has a stiffness and it has a body to it, and therefore when you sew it up, it becomes stronger. So you see from the Mishnah that's not a factor. And so the Shlokish answers, Ki ka'amu d'cholim, you know, when I say that it's considered strong and therefore that can not regenerate basically, but like if it's sewn together, it still has its original strength. Eicha d'kotsoi le'lahedya. If he cut or cracked the leather along its length or its width, and therefore so you have, in other words, you have a long straight cut. The word sorry, you actually points out, means like a cut or a split. So then, in other words, so it's easy to sew that up. But you know what the Mishnah that you brought is talking about? The Makatseo Vola Derech Suvosa. He's cutting it around and round. So now, even if you sew it up, it's really not going to be strong enough. It's not going to be strong like it was before. So then I agree, once each shred is less than 5 by 5, even though they're still partially connected, then I agree that that's not going to be Tomei anymore. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Masiv Rabbi Yumiya." So Rabbi Yumiya says, "What about our Mishnah? Hamashik v'behemo v'chayev v'tahoro v'tmeya v'dako v'gasa." If a person is skinning an animal, l'shotiyah, where he's doing it to make a spread, kedei achiza. Then once he reaches past kedei achiza, then the skin is not considered a yad anymore. Now, so up to achiza, ho yosim kedei achiza. But once he reaches beyond kedei achiza, once he reaches that two tmachim that we said before, tahor, then the skin is tahor. It's not a yad anymore. Now, according to the Shlokish, why? Bamai lemacholi. Why shouldn't we say the skin has a strength to it, and therefore, so it should still be considered. It should still be considered connected. Now, Tosva says, what does one have to do with the other? That's talking about a yad. Before we were talking about whether the skin itself is makabel tumah. Fine, but Tosva says the same way as we can say that when the leather is torn, it can still be considered connected. The same way the skin that was partially stripped off should still be considered that was connected, should still be considered a yad. And yet the Mishnah is implying that not. So the answer is Tilgamer of Oven, Rishin Oisen Nipa. The answer is, Rabbi Avin explained, according to the Shlokish, you would say, as the skin gradually gets more and more separated from the flesh, and more than Kedei Achiza, and you're going and skinning more and more, each one is considered like the other one completely fell off, and is no longer even physically attached anymore. So even though it is physically attached, but you're never going to recover the flesh with it. So when you have up to Kedei Achiza, then you can say that fine, you're still using it as a handle to move around the carcass. But once you reach beyond that, in effect, we consider, in other words, once you do the third tefach, then it's considered in a certain sense as though the first two tefachim are completely gone and not physically attached to the rest of the skin at all. The same thing when you reach the fourth tefach, then the same thing with the third, and so forth. Because again, it's not going to, unlike with a leather garment where you could re-sew it up and make it more or less as it was before, here you're never going to return the skin onto the animal. So, So therefore you can say so that would be different then. So that would be different than a leather garment, which you're talking about whether you're going to sew it up, whether you're going to sew it up afterwards. Okay, the Gemara says, must have Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, though, what about, though, we learn in the Mishnah, Oshalach Sava, we said the skin on the neck of the animal, Rav Yechon and Nuri Yoma Eni Chibur, Rav Yechon and Nuri says, not considered connected. Again, we have the two possibilities. Does he mean it's not considered connected to the rest of the skin, or does it mean it's not even considered connected to the flesh? The question is, am I? Why? Hacholim Bekoi. The fact is, it's still intact, it still is attached to the flesh, why shouldn't it be considered a Yad? Tosfos points out that Tosfos points out, look, even according to the Yochanan, he still agrees that once if you sew it up, it becomes tameh. He was never whipped in the first place. Why shouldn't we say that it's still considered connected? Okay. And Tosfos says, fine. The fact is, it does. The skin of the neck does come off very easily. The fact is, still, it should be no worse than skin that wasn't sewn up yet. And still, the Shlokish considered it like being connected. So the same way over here, it should still be considered connected in our mission. And the answer is, Amalei Abayas. Abayas says to Rav Yosef, you're asking from that part, well, you're asking from Rav Yosef and Nuri's opinion, you may as well look at the next part of the mission, Vacham Amim Chibu. Vacham say it is considered connected. Well, very well then. Rosh Lakish is going according to the Chachamim. And therefore, some of those Chachamim are saying, even the skin on the neck, even though it's very loosely connected, is still considered connected. Well, very well, that would be exactly what Rish Lakish said. You have a piece of leather, which was partially ripped through, and nevertheless, we're still going to consider it connected. Ella, Amar Abayas says no. Then you have to understand the machlokas of Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish a little bit differently. You have to understand the case of our Mishnah a little differently. The reason why you have the machlokas in our Mishnah is not that it's the same as the machlokas of Yochanan and Rish Lakish, but rather the shomer also be notik me'elav kamifadi. When you have a shomer which is going to easily be removed on its own, so here the skin on the neck was very very loosely attached to the flesh underneath it. Even if you don't slip it off, it's going to kind of fall off on its own. So it's even worse. It doesn't even have the strength and the stability of leather that was ripped. Well, therefore, Mar Sava have a shomer. The Chum said that doesn't matter. As long as it's still attached, it is a shomer. Or Mar Sava lo have a shomer. Whereas Rav Yechon ben Nuri is going to hold, it's not considered a shomer. So fine. So in other words, the machlokas in our Mishnah has nothing directly to do with the machlokas Rav Yechon ben Nuri and Rish Lakish. It's rather on a different consideration because it comes off so easily. Sam Sofer explains actually that Rish Lakish would hold of that would be the distinction. According to Rav Yochanan, you can say that it would be considered like skin that was ripped, and therefore, if Rav Yochanan ben Nuri holds that it's tahar, and it's gonna come off so easily, then he would also be matahar by skin that ripped. So it would actually be, when we say that it's a matter of shomer, and a shomer that comes off very easily, then that would be according to Rish Lakish. So, we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. We're going to continue tomorrow with this machlokas, Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish, and analyzing this detail about leather that ripped, and continue with more of these dinim about skin of an animal, and about different things that are connected or not connected when we say things are considered connected in halacha and when not.
Shkayach.
That's it.